It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbring. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
If, on the other hand, this isn't an accident, they have recklessly disregarded the information that you provided. They saw that FTC identity theft affidavit, and they threw it away. They saw that police report, and they ignored it. And they still want to go and say, nope, this is your account. Now that is not accidental. That's what's called willful. In the case of a willful violation of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you're entitled to actual damages or up to $1,000 in statutory damages, even if you can't prove actual damages, plus punitive damages, plus attorney's fees and costs.
Consumer protection attorney Jason Crumbine explains who keeps credit reports, who gets to look at them, and how to protect your credit report using the protections of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And during this week's question and answer session, we tell a listener about a program that helps qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated persons restore driving privileges so they can drive to work and hold a job. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 59, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. More and more people are getting into bad deals with credit counseling agencies. People pay $100 to $500 a month to the agency for them to settle their debts with creditors. But often, the agency has paid nothing to the creditors and kept most or all of the money for its fees. Meanwhile, the debts are increasing continually due to fees and interest. In June, Debt Relief USA, a national credit counseling agency, filed for bankruptcy in the Northern District of Texas. The Texas Attorney General's office sued the agency, claiming it engaged in debt settlement services without a license and violated Texas law. An agency also must be licensed in Virginia to offer debt settlement services in the Commonwealth, and Debt Relief USA is not licensed in Virginia either. If you have paid Debt Relief USA for their services, you should file with the bankruptcy court a proof of claim against Debt Relief USA. The form is available at Debt Relief USA's bankruptcy-related website, www.drusabankruptcy.com, as is a copy of the Texas Attorney General's lawsuit. In other news, U.S. banks stand to collect a record $38.5 billion in overdraft fees this year, with the bulk coming from the most financially stretched consumers. The fees are nearly double those reported in 2000. According to Moebs Services, a research company, the median bank overdraft fee this year rose from $25 to $26, the first time it has gone up in a recession for more than 40 years. Overdraft fees accounted for more than three-quarters of service fees charged on customer deposits. The most cash-strapped consumers are the hardest hit by such fees, with 90% of overdraft revenues coming from 10% of checking accounts. The highest overdraft fees were charged by the largest banks. The American Bankers Association says the higher fees are appropriate because big banks don't know their customers as well as small community banks and need to be compensated for the higher risk. But consumer advocacy groups point out to very low loss rates on overdrafts for all banks and argue that overdrafts are the least risky form of credit while being the most expensive for consumers. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is appeal. An appeal is a right you usually have after a final decision of a court or government agency. If you don't agree with the decision of the court or agency, you can have the decision reviewed by a higher court or agency, and sometimes a court can review an agency's decision. Almost all appeals have to be filed in writing. All appeals have to be filed within a certain time, called the appeal period. Sometimes you have to post an appeal bond of cash or property within a certain time to appeal from a lower court to a higher court. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Term of the Week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Martin.
And where are you from, sir?
Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, great. What question do we have this week?
I lost my license 10 years ago and for DUI, and I'm on the bus route, and it's very expensive to get all through all the red tape and everything, and money and all that. Anyway, I just want to know how you felt about that, you know.
You'd like to know if there's some organization that could maybe help you get your driver's license back?
That's correct.
Okay, well, Martin, fortunately there is. This is a fairly new organization in Richmond. It's called Drive to Work, and it is a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation that assists qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated people to get back their driving license so they can do what you need to do, that is drive to work and hold a job. Basically, they provide legal and other services by attorneys, and they do that without charge. The only thing they have to do is charge you an administrative fee of $150. Their organization, Drive to Work, has cooperative agreements with the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, as well as with other state and private agencies to help people like you get their driver's license back. They have a website. It's www.drivetowork.com. .org, and it's very easy to qualify. You have to meet their eligibility rules, and that means you have to fill out an application, you have to obtain your DMV driver record, and provide two recent paycheck stubs, because again, this is a program to help people work. You have to have a gross income that's below twice the federal poverty line, and you have to either be employed or have other financial resources that will allow you to repay the various fees, the reinstatement fee, insurance, past due court fines, as well as any court filing fees that might be necessary. And then you sign an attorney retainer agreement and you pay the administrative fee of $150 when you are accepted. They have two offices locally. They have one in Richmond. They also have one in Petersburg. And the easiest way to contact them is by phone. It is 358-6727. They also have a toll-free number, which is 1-888-358-6727. Is this the type of information that you were looking for?
Yes, correct.
Okay, well, very good. I'm glad we could be of help. Thank you for being on the show. Ain't gonna let Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here in the studios with Jason Crumbine of Crumbine Consumer Legal Services. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We're going to be talking today about a topic that is of great interest these days, credit reports. A lot of people are concerned about their credit report, especially with the tightening of credit standards. So let's start with the first step. Jason, what is your credit report?
Your credit report is any document, any file that bears upon your credit worthiness, mode of living, or general background. It includes things like criminal history checks. It includes histories of payments, the traditional credit report. It includes information about your living in particular tenant type situations. So, for example, a tenant blacklist would be included on a credit report.
So it sounds like a lot of different information can
Absolutely.
Be kept. Who keeps these credit reports?
All sorts of different agencies. There are. It depends on what kind of information you're looking for. For example, if you're looking for the traditional credit report, history of your payment history, that would be kept by, there are now four agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and the new one is Innovus.
And they can keep this information on you, apparently, without your permission or even your knowledge.
They do that based on the information that is reported by the people who you either do or have done business with or think they've done business with you.
Now, what do you mean by think they've done business with you? I gather there's some requirement that these reports be complete and accurate?
There is a requirement that the information be complete and accurate. And the key thing is, and that's exactly where I wanted to go, the people who think they have done business with you. For people who are the victims of identity theft, the people who you've done business with, the credit card company, thinks that they've done business with Marty Wegbright, but they've in fact been dealing with an imposter. So they start reporting that Marty Wegbright has not been paying his blah, blah, blah credit card, when in fact Marty Wegbright never opened that account. Marty Wegbright never made a payment, never had any relationship to blah, blah, blah credit card.
So when this happens, what do you do? How do you get this verified? How do you get it correct?
The key piece is communication. The question is really a much harder one. Who do you communicate with? The first thing that you do is you communicate with the people who are reporting the information. Because if they don't understand the back and forth that's going on, they're just going to say, oh, yes, it's him. If, however, you start talking to them at the same time that you're talking to the credit bureaus, and the key piece of this, of how you protect your rights, is to communicate with the credit bureaus. You have to notify the furnisher. You have to notify the credit bureau. So if it's a Capital One account, you want to talk to Capital One as well as to Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and Innovus. If it's a Chase account, you want to talk to Chase as well as Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and Innovus. Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and Innovus each have their own duty to, number one, maintain a procedure to assure maximum possible accuracy. That is the exact language from the Fair Credit Reporting Act. They also have a duty on notice from you to conduct their own investigation and to forward all the relevant information to the furnisher of information.
Now, you mentioned the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and
yes.
I know that applies to the credit bureaus, the four major national credit bureaus that you mentioned, as well as any other smaller local regional credit bureaus. Does it also apply to the furnishers of the information?
It does, but only when you do your dispute through the credit bureaus. But the credit bureaus are not necessarily going to send all of the information. They're going to send an electronic blip that says something like, we talked to Marty Wegbright and he says this is not his account. But it's not really complete when they're sending just that blip. That's why you need to be in contact with the furnisher, the Chase, the Capital One, the whoever it is, to explain to them, this is an identity theft account, so that they understand you never opened that account. And the same thing can also be said for situations where it is your account, but they're not reporting your payment history accurately. So, for example, you've made all of your payments on time, but they're reporting that you are 30, 60, 90, 120, charge off, whatever it is that they're reporting. You are, were, and still are making payments on time, in full, making those payments. They're reporting that you're not.
Okay, so how do you get your credit report? And once you've gotten it and you look through it and you think that it's neither accurate nor complete, how do you initiate at least the verification procedures with the credit bureaus?
The first thing is how to get the credit report. And the best information that I can give you is that you should call for your credit report. You're going to call. There's a centralized phone number for ordering from Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. I'm not quite sure yet why they have not figured out how to include Innovus, but from Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, you can call one phone number and order all three credit reports. It takes about 10 minutes to go through their phone system. It is not designed to be easy. But if you go through the system, the phone number, 877-FACT-ACT, 877-322-8228. That's 877-FACT-ACT. And you just go through the system, call the phone number, order your credit reports, 877-FACT-ACT. They will send you, free of charge once a year, a copy of your credit report. Then you know what's going on, who's reporting something, where the problem is. There will be some contact information about the creditors, the Chase, the Capital One, the Citibank, whoever it is. There will be some information about who's there. You can then call, you can write, you can communicate with those people, and there will also be, on the credit report, an address where you are supposed to send your disputes. There'll be included in your credit report a form so that it's a check-the-box form. I'm not a big fan of check-the-box forms. What I like for my clients is that they write a letter that explains, I never opened a account with Chase or Capital One or whoever it is. Explain, this isn't my account. Explain that I was never in default. Here's copies of all of the payments that I made. This was my account. This wasn't my account. Whatever. Give them all the possible information. You may also need to provide copies of your identification, copies of your driver's license, your Social Security card, recent bill statements from water, from gas, from local utilities, your electric bill, from your lease, showing that you live there, that it really is you. You may also want to and or need to provide a copy of the Federal Trade Commission's Identity Theft Affidavit. It is a form that you can download from the Federal Trade Commission website, or you can obtain it from my office or from Central Virginia Legal Aid. It's a form that you fill out, that you're filling out under oath, that says, I never opened this account.
Okay, now let's assume you do that dispute, mm-hmm. and you either get a response from the credit bureau that you just flat out disagree with or is just not in compliance with what they ought to do, or even worse, they don't respond at all. What do you do next?
The best thing to do is to send another dispute. To explain to them, I saw your response. Here's more information. Here's how to contact me, talk to me, explain to me what it is that I need to do to prove to you this isn't my account. The FTC ID theft affidavit. If you can persuade the local police to take an identity theft police report, include a copy of the police report, get a copy of a statement from the local prosecutor, from the postal inspector, something, more information. Once you give them that, that puts more pressure on them. Once you've done 2, 3, 4 disputes, it either goes away or it doesn't go away. If it doesn't go away, that's when it's time to seek the assistance of a competent lawyer who practices in the area of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. That's one of the areas of my practice. It's central to my practice.
And what type of relief, what type of remedies can a person get if their rights are violated under the Fair Credit Reporting Act?
There are two kinds of possible situations under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. If the credit bureau and the furnisher, or the furnisher, have violated the report in a manner that is negligent, accidental, oops, we made a mistake, you're entitled to actual damages plus attorney's fees and costs. If, on the other hand, this isn't an accident, they have recklessly disregarded the information that you've provided. They saw that FTC identity theft affidavit and they threw it away. They saw that police report and they ignored it. And they still want to go and say, nope, this is your account. Now that is not accidental. That's what's called willful. In the case of a willful violation of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you're entitled to actual damages or up to $1,000 in statutory damages, even if you can't prove actual damages, plus punitive damages, plus attorney's fees and costs.
Now, who has a right to look at your information that is in your credit report?
Generally, the people who have the right to look at the information in your credit report are people you either have done business with or are going to do business with. So, for example, when you apply for a credit card, they have the right to look at your credit report. That's one of the conditions that they are going to ask you to agree to when you apply for the credit card, that they can look at your credit report so that they know how much risk to assign to your credit card, your mortgage, your car loan, whatever it is. They also have the right to look at it if they have done business with you to determine whether or not you still qualify. And they may decide, well, we need to lower your credit limit, we need to increase your interest rate, things like that. They can also look at your credit report for purposes of collection. So, for example, if you had an account with Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo assigned the collection of your account to Midland Credit Management, Midland Credit Management can also look at your credit report.
And Jason, how would someone contact Crumbine Consumer Legal Services?
Crumbine Consumer Legal Services is available by phone. Our phone number is 804-673-4358 in the Metro Richmond area. We can be contacted on the web at crumbinelaw.com, K-R-U-M-B-E-I-N-L-A-W.com. We can be contacted by coming into our offices at 1650 Willow Lawn Drive in Richmond, and the zip code is 23230. Stop in and see us. We'll be glad to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Jason. We have been talking to Jason Crumbine of Crumbine Consumer Legal Services here in Richmond. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jason.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about payday loans. The first tip is that a payday loan is a small, short-term, high-interest rate loan. The loan is between $100 to $500 and usually between 2 weeks and 2 months. The second tip is that a payday loan is a very expensive way to borrow money. A four-week loan's rate of interest is 362% per year. A two-week loan's rate of interest is 724% per year. The third tip is that to get out of a payday loan, you can stop payment on your check to the payday lender, make sure all of your other checks written on the account are paid, and then close the account. It's not a crime to do these things, and you can't be arrested for doing these things. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week's, that's our top three tips about payday loans.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Out of 6 million driver's licenses issued by Virginia, more than 1 in 10 of them have been suspended, preventing many of the 615,000 people from getting or keeping a job. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, Randy Rollins, president of Drive to Work, tells how his organization helps qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated persons restore driving privileges so they can drive to work and hold a job. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbrand.